Okay, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show. A week today, people will be asked or being asked or if they choose to go out and vote in the local and European elections. And we wrap up our pre-election debates today. We have been in the Buncrana electoral area before. This is our second visit as we split the candidates into two groups to ensure everyone got a fair hearing. And today we have five guests, and we're going to follow the usual format, or the format we have up until now. And that is to allow people an opportunity to introduce themselves or to say why someone might vote for them. And we'll say good morning first to Adrian McMiller, who's running as an independent. Adrian, a very good morning to you. And I suppose, you know, tell us about, a bit about yourself or why people should vote for you.
Good morning, Greg, and my fellow candidates and listeners. I'm asking the people of Buncrana electrical area to vote for me, Adrian McMiller, next Friday, June the 7th. I believe I can be an honest, independent voice on Donegal County Council for the people of South Annishowen. I am passionate about the community I live in and have a track record of delivering to my community. From the age of 16, I sat on boards for local GAA and football teams. I have co-founded the Inish Theatre Group. I set up Buncrana's Children's Charity and have since been involved with many other local charities. Altogether, I've fundraised over €200,000 locally, directly benefiting local people. I'm acutely aware of the needs of my community, and that's why I believe I will be a strong voice at the table on Donegal County Council. I'm asking the people to give me a chance to keep delivering for them. Please vote Adrian McMiller, number one, or your highest preference. Thank you.
All right, we say good morning to Niamh McGuinness. Hiya, Niamh. Thanks for calling down. Niamh McGuinness running for Sinn Féin.
Hiya. So just before I start, I'd like to wish all my fellow candidates here good luck. It's really nice to meet you today. So good morning, Greg, and good morning, listeners. My name's Niamh McGuinness, and I'm from Bridge End. I'm 20 years old, and I'm currently pursuing an undergraduate degree in politics at Queen's University Belfast. I'm standing for a local election as a young person deeply affected by the current political landscape. I believe there's a pressing need for greater representation of women and young people on Donegal County Council. Growing up in Donegal, I witnessed firsthand the struggles our community faces. Homeowners dealing with defective blocks are struggling with an inadequate and unjust redress scheme. The lack of affordable housing is a huge barrier for young people like me. How can we start our independent adult lives when the average rent in Donegal is approximately €1,400 per month? The cost of living is soaring, and the challenges with healthcare only add to our burdens. For too long, government parties have failed to deliver real progress for the people of Donegal. I think it's time for fresh voices, and that starts with electing representatives who understand the challenges from a personal standpoint. As a young woman, I bring a unique perspective that has been missing from our local governance. We need more women in political spaces to ensure that all voices are heard and represented.
All right, thank you very much indeed. We'll hear now from Joy Baird, who is running for 100% redress. Good morning, Joy.
Thank you, Greg, and thank you for inviting me along today. And good morning to the listeners and to my fellow candidates. My name is Joy Baird, and I'm standing for the 100% Redress Party. I've made Buncrana my home after moving here almost 20 years ago. Next Friday, we have a choice. A choice between the same tired old politics which Donegal politicians take their instructions from Dublin, or you can choose a new kind of politics in which we take back control of our futures. We sadly have a second unworkable defective concrete scheme. It is not 100% redress. Please do not listen to the government parties who claim it is. Please don't be fooled. I'm a victim of this humanitarian crisis whose home will be demolished in the next few weeks. I'm in the process currently of moving into a mobile home. Victims need a true 100% redress scheme as specified in the People's Document. Sadly, none of the political parties around this table endorses the document in full. This crisis touches many aspects of our lives, our health, our children, our finances, our tourism. That's why the 100% Redress Party is not a single issue party. Redress means to remedy or set right, and that is what I intend to do on a variety of issues in our communities. So if you want a can-do, will-do attitude, then vote number one for me. If I'm honoured to be elected, I do intend to be a full-time councillor. Now is the time to make that change. Our protest must be at the ballot box, and we must send a clear message to Dublin that we will not accept this any longer. A decade of suffering is a decade too long. Vote number one, Joy Beard, on the 7th of June.
Thanks, Joy. Paul Canning of Fianna Fáil, good morning to you.
Thanks, Greg, and listen, thanks to all the listeners that have tuned in today. First of all, I want to wish my fellow contestants all the best in the local elections. It has been a long struggle for all of us to get to here. But my name is Paul Canning. I'm from Newton Cunning. I'm a councillor for the past 13 years. And I want to thank the public for the support they have given me during that term. I am now asking the public to support me another time by giving me their number one on June the 5th or June the 7th to allow me to continue the work that I have started and allow me to continue the progress that we are making in South Innishowen. Thank you very much.
Okay, and last but not least, of course, we have Terry Crossan of Sinn Féin. Terry, good morning to you.
Hi, Greg. I guess mighty I like to welcome my fellow candidates, Adrian, Joy, Niamh, and of course my old colleague Paul. My name is Councillor Terry Crossan. I was immensely proud and honoured to have been elected to the Donegal County Council in 2019 to represent the western shore of Lough Foyle and the wider Buncrana electoral area. As a councillor and Cathaoirleach of the Innishowen Municipal District, I have worked tirelessly to represent all of the people to the best of my ability. We face many challenges going forward. My priorities include continued 100% support for the defective block redress, more social and affordable housing for Innishowen, continued focus on environmental issues such as the development and expansion of greenways, improvement in road safety measures for our local community. If re-elected, I will continue to support and work with our local sporting clubs, community groups and others through the Development Fund Initiative and the Members Fund. Local sports clubs have played a huge role in the development of our young people and must be commended and supported for their invaluable contribution to the community. I want to continue to support that community, and that's why I'm asking for people to re-elect me on the 7th of June again. Tamacree Alara Fobile.
Thanks very much, Terry. Paul Canning of Fianna Fáil, Joy Beard says that, you know, 100% redress is the only way to really deliver, and we'll hear Joy explain that in more detail, to deliver 100% redress. Theirs is the only party fully endorsing the People's Document, and the only party really that might get the message to Dublin that this scheme is not full redress. And I mean, I think it's an election issue more in this election perhaps than any that have went before it.
Yeah. Well, in my situation, I feel that anybody that has a house by 2,500 square feet or say 2,300 square foot at the minute, right, the size of this building here would be roughly that size, that they will get 100% redress from get go to they finish, and that house will be completed, and it will be at no expense to the applicant. The situation up until now, there was a lot of issues in getting the program right and getting the delivery right. Insofar as the local authority, we have the fact that we have the ancillary grants now that are front loaded. So, in that instance, we are catering for, I would say, about 55% of the public in relation to.
So that's a scheme.
Yeah,
that's a scheme by someone who's out there advocating for it. That's a scheme by your own numbers. Yeah. Only works for half of the people.
Yeah.
And I'm sure those numbers could be disputed, right?
Yeah.
So that's a problem, isn't it?
That is a problem in relation to the larger houses, of course.
But if you have a larger house, are you any less of a victim than if you have a smaller house?
No. The situation with it is, you have a scheme here now at the minute, right? And as you well know, and as everybody around this table well knows, it took about 5 or 6 years to get to this point, right? So we have to work within that scheme. There's no point in us saying, right, let's scrap that scheme. Let's start again. Because number one, we'll have an election before Christmas, I would say, right? So that you have whoever's voted on. Well, they have to form a government. And sometimes those people don't form a government and we're back to the electorate again. So we allow a year for that first day. Then we start looking at a new scheme. And you know, and I know, the first thing that comes is your legislation has to come and it has to be go through the Senate, has to go through the Dáil. Your actually statutory instrument has to be done.
Oh, you
and
can skip that.
Yeah,
which some of that was skipped to get this across the line.
But hold on, your regulation is another year. Yeah, it took a year to get the regulation. So if we go back into power, you go back into power, that new scheme is 4 or 5 years away.
I think if we were talking 2019, people might say, right, yeah, legislation was changed overnight in many different areas over the last couple of years. So if there is a will, there certainly is a precedent to change legislation like that. Because the 90-10 scheme was sold on the fact that a new scheme would take too long. And here we are here in the same excuse defending the enhanced redress scheme.
Yeah, but it depends on in relation to the change of the legislation. The groundwork and the homework was done in relation to that, and all of the T's were crossed and I's dotted. That way you have an easy change. But in this case, if you're throwing the complete all of the toys out of the pram, if you're wiping the deck clean and starting with a new scheme, it's going to take 5 or 6 years.
Okay, Joy Beard, you're listening to Paul there. It's either work with this or wait years for another one.
Factual, to be honest, Greg, my house is not 2,300 square feet. My house is 1,850 square feet, and I'm facing a shortfall. This scheme is not 100% redress.
How are you facing a shortfall if it's so far underneath?
Well, the builder's cost alone, I'm hitting a shortfall. That doesn't include my professional fees on top. That doesn't include my foundations. I will not build my house on faulty foundations. Foundations are not even being tested, and we've homes being built here at this minute in time.
So just to be clear, if you exclude the cost of the foundations, is there still a shortfall?
Yes, and I'm 1,850. And being a campaigner, I have many people coming to me with the same problem. If they don't have the funding, they're not going to get through this scheme at 100%. I've yet to hear one person tell me that this is 100%. And I speak to dozens of people daily. And please correct me if I'm wrong, if people are getting through this scheme. But I'd be honest, I think this is a Fianna Fáil tactic.
But we heard
from Donald Kelly
last week that he knew of, I think it was 3, and one was just short 300
I've not,
quid.
Well, I'm evidence of it. I'm evidence. I have 10 friends now that I could tell you are not getting through this scheme, and they're nowhere near that 2,300 square feet. But to leave even 50% of the people in these houses, we have to remember these are lives. These people's lives are affected by living in these houses. They are living, their health is deteriorating, their safety is in jeopardy as these houses deteriorate. I've been round, as a campaigner, I knew it was a serious issue, but going round the doors, and I'm sure every single person at this table will agree with me, this situation is beyond what any of us imagine, the amount of properties affected. People don't even realise their properties are affected.
So where are we getting the figure then that 55% of people will get 100% redress?
Well, it's what Paul just said there, 50% is 100% redress, where it clearly is not. I don't know of anyone that is getting 100% through this scheme. And that, for you to say 2,300 square feet, I'm certainly not at that. I'm nowhere near that. But also people that should not, that are hitting that cap, be penalised because they have a bigger house. Why should they, if they've built a house, why should they not get... They did nothing wrong. It's like every other person in the country bought a house. They should be able to get that house rebuilt. And again, with excluded properties, there should be no property excluded. Every defective concrete product needs to be replaced at no cost to the homeowner. And that's what the People's Document is put in place for.
Okay, Terry Crossan, do you want to come in there?
Yeah, okay, Greg. Thank you for that. And thank you, Joy. I was at the event in the Innishowen Gateway where Sinn Féin were the only party in government who will ensure 100% redress. I know...
But I'm just going to have to correct that.
Yeah.
Your party promised that for parts of the People's Document, its entirety. Just to be clear, that's all.
What we did was we prioritised principal homeowners, and that was our immediate... issue to get that over the line as a first step, because that was the priority, because people's homes are crumbling around them. We are conscious that other buildings, I mean, our local CAA,
we could be 40% of childcare facilities will be uninhabitable within 4 to 5 years.
Absolutely.
They don't really have time to wait
on a
list. So,
yeah, I would be absolutely in favour of those being addressed as a matter of urgency also.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Adrian, did you want to come in there? And I'll bring our other guests back in as well, of course.
Yeah, so I just want to say, first of all, I'm fully supportive of a full 100% redress. I promise to work hard and I'll vote whatever way the defective concrete homeowners want me to vote. I'll be like another voice for the MICA candidates. I attended every protest in Dublin. I'd been a voice from the start. I actually worked with Paddy Diver on a personal basis for a fundraiser for Buncrana's Children's Charity to help him raise awareness as well for the 100% redress. But look, my thing is, if I get elected onto Donegal County Council, I want to make the MICA helpline more accessible 5 days a week. At the minute, you can only get food 2 days a week, and it's an absolute disaster for homeowners as well. And the other thing I want as well, I would love to help out and I would love to do is try to pay when they're paying out the grant stages in the council, instead of just doing once a month, do it maybe once a fortnight, weekly. It's very unfair that it's once a month builders need to get paid, like, and it's so unfair.
Niamh McGuinness?
I'd like to just agree with what Joy is saying. We're all very aware of those in our communities, family members, friends, that are really struggling with this issue. And I feel very sorry for them, having to listen to Mr. Paul Cannon and the excuses that are being made as to delays, red tape. You know, Sinn Féin have a plan in place should they get into government following the next election. It's a costed plan. And I was at the meeting Terry spoke about in the initial and gateway, and the hope that was provided to families by Deputy Pierce Doherty in explaining that primary principal homes will get, under a Sinn Féin government, 100% redress, full remediation costs and accommodation costs covered. And this is a fantastic starting point. Day one of Sinn Féin government, as backed by a strong Sinn Féin team in council, this can be achieved, and it's great hope, and it should come to great comfort for affected families.
Paul, do you think, I mean, you hear that, right? And it's hard to compete with that in an election, right?
Cause definitely, yeah. Like, it's been, you know, it's a political football at this stage, as we all know. But I've been straight and been honest with the people. The situation we have at the minute, you have, the scheme is giving you €2,045 per square metre, 180 a house that's 180 square metres is getting €360,000. In relation to that, the game that I'm qualified architect, and I have contractors and I have people building houses that are larger than those, and they've been built for cheaper. And I think that we need to get down to the brass tacks.
What's happening there then? If that
exactly
is the case,
that's,
are contractors overcharging? Or
I think there's an element of that. You know, I think that the situation was that because of the pace of the payments, the contractors are nervous insofar as they don't get that last payment.
So there's like a DCB level among,
yes,
a levy,
yeah,
among contractors.
And, you know, I don't know if there's a levy or that.
Well,
there,
I don't mean literally, but I mean, you know, if you're saying this is happening consistently,
well,
obviously
they're
not
problem,
all happening,
yeah,
independently.
Yeah, and just, you know, and I know the story about those houses that are that are more than the 25 or 2,300 square foot, because after the 180 square meters, you. For the other, you get €1,200 euros a square meter, right? So, the situation with that, when you take it down and you're capped at 420,000. So, if you have 420,000 and you bring your house back, and my figures, you will maximise your house at about 2,300 square foot if you do the maths on it, right? And in relation to any house,
so it's
above
only
that,
it's not really your when you say that 55% of people should be able to rebuild their houses, particularly if they're under the 2,300 square feet.
Yeah.
That's based on maths, then. It's not really actually based on lived experience.
No, okay, it's not right. Based on lived experience. It's based because of professional man, that's based on that. So I'm like, there's no point in me saying I haven't lived through it. And I totally understand. And I understand where joy's come from. And I understand where everybody's coming from. And I do accept the difficulties okay. that are out
so,
there.
But one question to you, and to be fair, right? Yeah. As always, try and be Paul. This obviously, right, is a multi-billion, multi-annual scheme. Right, the costs are going to be huge because it's spreading throughout the country. What I mean by that is people are realising it's right across the country. There is a decent clawback, though, you know, in terms of employment, you know, VAT, tax and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, there is a bit of clawback for the government there. So given the fact that it is an open-ended commitment, why do you think the government stroke... the civil servants, the housing department officials, why do you think they have this cap on it then? Do you know what I mean? Like, do you see the logic in the 420 cap?
No, I don't see the logic in the 420 cap, and that's what we are trying to, as councillors, that is a bee in our bonnet, you know. But we're trying to work within the scheme, so we are.
All right, okay, I get you. Joy, did you want to come back in there?
Well, I think we're missing a big, big point here. Like, the fundamental heart of this scheme is not right. It is not MICA. The narrative the government are given that this is MICA through their standard IS 465 is wrong. People are rebuilding their houses as we speak, and they're not replacing foundations that have been proven to be tested for other deleterious materials. This is only going to cost the taxpayer more money in the long run when these houses fail yet again, because they're not taking the scientific evidence and replacing that IS 465 with a standard that does work, that allows for those deleterious materials. We know it's an internal sulfide attack. Every scientist has said it is. There's been testing done. The only people denying that evidence is the government. And the only reason they're doing that is because they want this MICA narrative to continue so as homes can be remediated, when we know that every home needs to be demolished and the foundations replaced. This is the only way we're going to get through this nightmare. And I have to say, I feel extremely disrespected sitting here now. Next week, I move into my caravan. I am not getting through this scheme with 100% redress, Paul.
Do you believe that, not in your individual case, because we're not identifying anyone, do you believe that people are providing different prices for houses to be built under the that with DCB versus new builds? Versus new builds, but obviously...
People are very sceptical of the scheme. I don't mind saying that. Builders are very sceptical of getting involved in this scheme. And the reason for that is the lack of wool in the DCB office. I spoke to someone just last night now, and she left a character off her air code, and it was declined her payment. Her claim that she's been waiting on for a long time, you know, and things like that. Someone else had a 2 euro discrepancy. Now, that put them to the back of the line for their claim. They're not able to move forward. The builder's not getting paid. So, of course, builders are going to be sceptical about this scheme. And this is a massive issue. We do not have enough builders to start with.
A caller says, Terry Crossan has done great work in the Muff area and states he intends to support local community sports clubs. But how does this stand with Sinn Féin's position that they have not signed up in full to the people's document, particularly given Sinn Féin have not committed to giving 100% redress to community buildings?
Yeah, well, I've answered that. I told you that their priority was for the principal homeowners. Once we get that up and going, and it's far from perfect, absolutely far from perfect, and people like Joe McHugh saw that and had the strength of his convictions to resign from the government. Maybe if some of the government party councillors had have took the same attitude, it might have put greater pressure on the government to do more.
Why don't you leave Sinn Féin, because community halls aren't included, or they haven't fully signed up to that?
We are prioritising. We are prioritising. It's prioritisation, not exclusion.
All right, Joy, I'll bring Adrian in a second.
Even that, like, I do not mean to scaremonger, and I'm telling you now, there's so many buildings within our communities that we use in our day-to-day lives that are in jeopardy.
Well, it's not scaremongering. The centre in Raffoe is condemned, and you know, Letterkenny will be in September.
I was in a shop in a community yesterday evening. It's the only shop in that community, and they took me out to the back, and the store is crumbling. And he says, when this falls down, our community has lost its shop.
Okay. Adrian, did you want to come in there?
Yep. So the first thing I want to say is, on the draft development plan, correct me if I'm wrong, Paul and Terry, but there's absolutely nothing in it about the defective concrete blocks.
Not a thing.
And it's absolutely shocking. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest issue in Donegal for the years to come. It's a humanitarian crisis, and it's absolutely shocking. The next thing I want to say is, Sinn Féin, up in Dublin, at the big protest, they promised 110% redress for all. And look, I think their promise is aspirational, but I do have concerns that they will deliver.
Did you want to come in there, Niamh McGuinness?
I just wanted to emphasise for listeners that although Sinn Féin hasn't fully backed the People's Document, they haven't excluded the possibility of this. I really want to show the importance that Sinn Féin has made a huge commitment, and the changes this will make to our communities will be huge, and they really shouldn't be understated. Mm. Primary homes, family homes will be redressed, and I'm really proud to be a champion in this. Of course, I'm not elected representative. Terry is. Jack Murray. Of course, we have Padraig and Pierce. They've been leading the charge on this, and I'm very happy to champion their plan going forward on 100% redress for primary principal homes, and following that, we will then see where we stand and what plans can be made.
Okay, but I mean, Paul, in fairness to the government, there's not... in terms of... I mean, the government has not said we're not going to do other buildings, we're not going to look at commercial buildings, we're not going to look at... we heard from the Taoiseach yesterday, whether people want to believe it or not, he said that he's going to speak to certain departments to see how the likes of the childcare facilities can be repaired, maybe not under this redress scheme. So, as I say, I want to be as fair as possible. We might quibble over whether it's 100% redress or not, and quibble's not the right word because it's so significant. But really, in terms of fixing other stuff, the government hasn't fully ruled that out yet, has it?
No. Sorry, no, they haven't. That's why I'm saying that we have the scheme, we have the bones of the scheme, and I think we need to tidy up the loose end of the scheme, and that involves those larger houses, and that involves those commercial buildings. That involves everything. You know, when you go out into a farmyard and you see what's happening out there, all of that is still on the table, and it's an ongoing circle, as they say. So we are looking at all of that, but we have to take one step at a time. It's unfortunate that they got the figure wrong insofar as the stats that they were probably going on is that the majority of houses were in and around the 2,500 square foot. And Donegal, that's much larger, those houses. So that aspect...
But that's fundamental.
I know it is, but
if you were affected by this, would you rebuild your house on the existing foundations?
Yeah, I would. And I'll tell you the reason being is if you have a concrete foundation, what's on the concrete foundation is that you have A393 mesh as a mesh you put on, and you have the concrete, right? Well, you were taking that out to leave what soil or muck, for a better word, that's in there. So are you telling me that the clay underneath the found is actually stronger than the found? Whereas if you leave that base in with the concrete in it and with the steel in it, and you put your foundation on top of that, because that has got the purpose of settlement, and because it is enclosed within your strip foundation, it's going nowhere.
So do you think that is the
that's what some...
So do you think that will mean that foundations may never be included? Is that the working theory from your perspective?
That's the working theory from my perspective.
Yeah. But do you think
I would say they will eventually take out the foundations. I have that notion. But as regarding... if somebody came to me and says, listen, we have foundations in here, and they had that foundation built on some of the soil that we have, I would say, listen, get it checked. Mm-hmm. And I said, that might be stronger than what you're taking out. And if you take out and then you're starting back and you're putting a foundation, where you can put a foundation on top of that, no problem.
Joe, you look perplexed.
I am a bit, because I don't know if anyone has been following the Oireachtas meetings where the engineers have said that they're not going to sign off on properties that contain any deleterious materials. There is deleterious material in our foundation, as everybody
knows.
But
does that not mean, Joy, that maybe they don't want to take the risk rather than they actually believe the foundations
might
fail?
As a homeowner, why would I not replace those foundations at my own cost and build that house on top? They're not mortgageable, not insurable. So if that's the case, we are trapped in these homes the rest of our
days. All right, Terry, did you want to come in there?
Yeah, I just want to say that it's absolutely scandalous that foundations aren't included in the process, because banks are saying banks will not give you a mortgage on a property that there is a big, huge question mark over the state of your foundations, and that needs to be addressed urgently, and it needs to be addressed immediately, and if there's a change of government soon, it needs to be addressed straight away.
Mm. All right. We'll be back with more on the 9 till noon show from our guests after we take this commercial break. Stay right where you are. Okay, I think that was the weather forecast. Supposedly going to be sunny, but it doesn't look like that out the window. But I'll tell you what the official forecast is. Today will be dry with good spells of sunshine. There may be a bit more cloud later in the day, especially along coasts. Highest temperatures of 15 to 16 degrees in light to moderate north to northwest winds. Okay, listen, we might as well stay up until 11 on the defective concrete block crisis. Did you want to come back in there, Paul, on the fans comments that you made?
Yeah, in relation to the foundation, I'm not saying not to put on foundations. I'm saying the foundations that sun will be stronger than the clay that you could be building on top of. So in certain cases, leave the foundation in and put on a new foundation on top of it. You're just adding strength to the soil that's there. And engineers will sign off on a new foundation that they put in because it will be done to spec. I'm only saying that rather than take out a foundation and you
don't... It's an option.
Yes, it's an option.
Okay. Adrian, did you come back in before that break, or were you looking to come back in?
No, I just came in.
All right, okay. Anyone else want to talk on that? Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, just in relation to... Adrian had asked a question to myself and Terry in relation to the development plan. At the development plan, the actual...
This is where defective concrete blocks is not referenced in the development plan, just for those who missed it. Go ahead.
Yes, within the development plan, we don't specifically deal with materials. It's all policies. It's objectives and policies. And the only policy that we felt that could have a negative impact on the actual defective blocks was the policy in relation to the demolition of buildings or demolition of dwellings. And they were wanting, the policy that was coming in relation to housing was, they were wanting to include that you need to cater for the demolition of your dwelling and the materials within that.
If we have, say, for instance, much of the social housing stock affected by defective mm-hmm. concrete blocks, and if we're talking about how many houses that need to be built, but then there's this thousands of houses that will need to be rebuilt in one form or another, it does seem a little bit odd that would not form part of the development plan to the layperson.
In relation to the
just in relation to the impact on social housing, on the public housing, on
no, we have
development
policies,
potentials.
All your policies that's on there, the policies cover all that. The in relation to housing in general, and in relation to location of houses, size of houses, type of houses, all of that is already on the development plan. But we don't specifically say what types of material that you're supposed to build with.
Okay.
We specifically say our heights, our width, our breadth, and our outside finish, which is a plywood. You'll see not a lot of houses in our area out in the countryside is a red brick finish, because we...
So it would be unusual to say, for instance, that materials have to be of a certain standard?
We can't say that.
Okay, but you can say they have to be of a certain colour?
Yes.
It's great. Okay, Joy, come in. That's not a you problem, that's the system problem, right?
It's to assimilate into the
yeah,
landscape.
So we can talk about what colour a brick is or what colour a tile is, but we can't talk about the quality of the block.
Yes.
Well, we're talking about the development plan. I think, you know, it's very clear that the issue has been missed totally off the development plan. The biggest crisis to affect our community, and it isn't even in the development plan, I
think.
But
Paul's saying the scope of a development plan does not allow for its inclusion.
But you're talking there about housing. Where are these families going to be housed when they are rebuilding their homes? Now, there was something put through in relation to the housing strategy and on the DCB plan. It was a request in plans of temporary accommodation and the use of modular homes to meeting the needs of these families that have to leave these houses. And I'll give you the Chief Executive's response word for word. It says, firstly, it is not anticipated that this crisis will generate the need for any significant additional housing units over and above the regular demand. Now, how can a Chief Executive say during a crisis, the biggest crisis that we're probably going to experience in our lifetime in our county, where we're going to have thousands of displaced families looking for accommodation, that the Chief Executive of the Council says there's no going to be over and above the regular demand any need for accommodation for these families?
You know, you're a co-signatory of this development plan in terms of sort of signing off and negotiating it, Terry Crossan. Did you or your party try and get defective concrete blocks and the fallout from that included in the development plan?
No, because as Paul outlined, it wasn't within the remit of the plan, so we weren't aware that it would be a possibility even.
Okay. A lot of people say, and there's a bit of gouging going on with rents, that people are aware that there's €15,000 there for rent for those affected by defective concrete blocks, and that's actually driven up rental prices, along obviously with supply and demand, but that some people are gouging a little bit because of... is that a concern that you would have, Niamh McGuinness, that, you know, maybe because people know there's a €15,000 there that they might adjust their rents accordingly?
I mean, absolutely, Greg. We've seen ourselves that people are really taking advantage of this horrible situation, and with the lack of homes in our area, I mean, it's backing people into a corner, and it's just awful to see.
I mean, I don't think we ever envisaged a time we'd see rents in South Inishowen at 1,400 or in other parts of the county. Is that a concern that you're hearing from, hearing about, Joy?
Yeah, it is a concern. The lack of housing is the biggest concern to start with, you know. Trust me, I don't want to be moving into a tin box next week. You know, I don't know how a family, we weren't blessed with children, but I don't know how a family would live in a mobile home the way they are doing. But the mobile home's a lot safer than the homes they're living in. So to be honest, I'm glad that they have that option to purchase a mobile home. But the lack of housing, as I say, this government have known about this crisis forthcoming down the line, and our council, to be fair, as well. And there's been no provision for modular homes, for alternative accommodation for these families. I've been in houses that haven't even started this scheme yet, and they are absolutely appalling. Houses that should be condemned, with little children running about, with black mould from top to toe in that house, and the house crumbling down around them. So I don't see, as a council, how you have no plans in place after all this time to accommodate these people that are crying out for help.
Terry, you wanted to come back in there?
Yeah, well, on what you're saying, Joy, I'll go back. It's a government scheme. The councillors are very limited in what they can do. But I on housing, I mean, I wish I had a pound for every time I heard modular homes mentioned over this past 3 years. And I advocated, and other councillors advocated, Albert Tardy and I introduced a company to the Donegal Council who were prepared to build modular homes in Donegal, and like everything else, put on the long finger, nothing was done.
Well, it was not. Nothing was done. Well, it was not put on any finger because it wasn't put on any finger because the government ruled it out.
I know. Dara Bryan asked for a plan to be put to him for modular homes. That was in December 2022. Was that plan ever done, and why wasn't the public informed that that plan was ever done?
It was subsequently confirmed at the event in the Clanry that modular homes was not being considered at all.
No, that's the problem. These people have nowhere to go, and their homes are extremely unsafe, and that's the big issue.
Terry, please.
Yeah, if I could just come in too. There's an issue of young people who are living in defective blocks homes, who are at a stage now where they have exams. They're in houses that have gaps, that are cold. They're trying to study for exams, they're up in a bedroom that is probably maybe a safe or whatever room in the house is deemed to be the safest. They are trying their best. There's all sorts of stresses going on. The ETB asked Minister Foley in January 2023 to come to see for herself the stresses that these young people were under. She still hasn't come.
Okay, well, she was in a show not so long ago, was she?
Yeah, but she wasn't in any of the...
Okay, we've loads to get through over the course of the next hour, so stay right where you are. We're going to take a break. Back more from our guests after the news at 11.